Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up!
I just whipped your ass.
You
take it all away.
Oh,
I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Katrera. What's going on, Katrera?
And not too much. What's going on?
Not too much. Other than being joined by our other co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, gentlemen. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, okay, just not doing much.
How's that new car treating you?
Having to get like reused to it because I've been driving like a bigger rental car for like 2 weeks, but it's kind of like going home. It's kind of funny because it looks like, I mean, it doesn't look exactly because it's 2 years newer, but you know, same model, same color, same everything in the inside. So it's like, it's kind of cool. I mean, I didn't fucking get anything out of the whole fucking thing, but I really didn't lose anything. It's just like, I guess I rented my other car for 2 years without having to make a big lease down payment. So I guess I can't complain too bad, but I like it because, you know, the rental car they gave me a nicer rental car because they gave me like a brand new, like Ford Taurus, fucking all leather, all fucking dual air conditioner, touchscreen, camera in the back, you know, just all the works and shit. So all that shit was cool. But the way, like, the center console was designed, it was hard for me to, like, get to my papers when I was doing my paper route. So it really sucked when I was doing my paper route. So my car works out perfect the way it's built for my you know, it's kind of a work car. So it works perfect for my job. So that was great having it back last night. So, you know, it's cool. I just, you know, still got to make 72 months more worth of payments, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So anything interesting happened with you guys besides me getting a new car?
No. Been working just a ridiculous amount of hours, and no light ahead at the end of the tunnel. It's just been stupid busy. And
because I remember like a couple years ago your business kind of slowed down and you had even gotten were between jobs at one point, and now you're working like 50 hours a week. What has happened in the Seattle economy or area to cause there to be a lot of cabinets being needed?
Well, for one, I was working in, how do you describe it? I was working commercial, so I was building cabinets and fixtures for companies. So when you would go into like a JCPenney's or you know, some place where you buy things, I was building those cabinets. And then I went back to working residential, which is kitchens, and I work in a smaller shop and they're really, really busy in the shop. But it's a smaller shop, so it's like more work, less people, more custom. So the stuff we're doing is very much custom, and we just got a lot of work right now. It's pretty ridiculous.
Well, that's cool. Better more work than no work.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Katrina, what have you been up to besides nothing?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing bites your mouth.
You're usually pretty boring unless something big happens, and usually it's so big that you usually don't want to talk about it on the show.
Okay.
Yeah. But
sorry to bore you with my life. I try to go out and do drugs or something and make some more interesting stories.
Make some news, brother.
And drugs add a lot to the world. I can answer that firsthand.
I'm sorry, I'm not more of a fuck up.
What do you guys want to start with talking first? Do you want to talk about preview or any wrestling news that's going on, or do you want to do the Civil War preview to start the show?
I do that.
I think we should save that. Yeah, save that for the main event. I think the first thing we should talk about is Ryback.
We may have seen the last of him.
Okay, the pre-show stopper, I didn't see that at the pre-show, so I didn't see that, and then I heard about it, and I was like, that's pretty cool, and then when I finally saw a picture of it, I just laughed my ass off. That's somebody who just at that moment just didn't give a fuck.
Yep, I'm done.
They come out wearing that, and then, like I said, I didn't see the match, but I saw this GIF today where it looked like Kalisto was totally doing all these flips and turns and totally out of control and was about to fucking die. And Ryback somehow fucking still caught his ass and kept him from dying, because he literally would have died if he would have gotten caught. I like Ryback. He's not the greatest wrestler in the world, but he entertains me for what he is. And, you know, they actually built him up at one point where he actually meant something. They just got him to that point and then had him lose like fucking 6 pay-per-view matches in a row or some bullshit like that. So, you know, I mean, I think he's funny on promos. I love that table of three where he's just talking about how he's this victim and being bullied by Daniel Bryan and Cody Rhodes and all these little people who, you know, he should be like killing, but yet he's being bullied by them. And, In his argument, it's funny because there's two sides to his argument. He makes a lot of good points on one side, and then he makes a lot of bad points on the same argument. So it's like,
yes,
kind of, you can't take it too seriously because the bad points are pretty bad and kind of take away the credibility of the good points that he's making and stuff. But you know, hopefully he'll get some more money, or maybe instead of just rumors that he might show up at our Vegas convention a couple years ago, maybe he'll actually show up at our Vegas convention this year. I do believe that the big guy does live in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fact that he actually met with Vince McMahon, that's pretty amazing, because he probably should have, I would imagine he probably should have taken it up with Hunter if he had a beef or whatever, but the fact that he met with Vince and Vince told him to go ahead and go home, that's pretty crazy.
I'm pretty sure the reason he went to Vince is because him and Hunter weren't getting anywhere, and that's why he went to Vince.
That's very possible. Just the guy wasn't lighting the world on fire. He wasn't really doing anything, and for him to complain now. Is anybody going to miss him, really? I mean, I hate to be that guy, but I'm not. The fact that he wasn't on TV on Monday didn't even faze me.
Well, he hadn't really been on TV in weeks, honestly.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time he was on TV. Ever since WrestleMania, I can't remember seeing him.
I think he got a promo on, what's his name, like right after WrestleMania or something. But, yeah.
Yeah, so,
but,
and then his internet argument about how they're all performers and all the performers should be paid the same, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
There's a
pecking order. There's a main event. You know, there's a reason that Roman Reigns and AJ Styles was in the main event, and there was a reason that Ryback was the pre-show stopper. It's because those guys draw money. Ryback maybe draws a fair bit of fans, but I don't see people running around with Ryback shirts like John Cena shirts. So the fact that he thinks that he should be paid the same as John Cena is ludicrous.
That's the same as at every job, though. I mean, that's like common sense, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, there's no reason I should make the same as my boss. I mean, we do the same work. You know.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, at that point, you're totally right on that point. But I think the point that he has that they should pay for their hotels is a good point. I think they should pay for their hotels because when the San Antonio Spurs go to New York, they're not paying their hotel bills. When the Denver Broncos go play in Seattle, they're not paying their hotel bills, and they're staying there for days at a time, you know what I mean, or a couple of days at a time. You can say that for every sport.
No, I get that.
Now, UFC, I don't know about – like, UFC, I think, is more toward, like, WWE than other major sports because, you know, when I met Paige VanZant, she was flying Southwest. You know what I mean? I think the whole team Alpha flew, like, Southwest. So – it's not like UFC is flying them in for, like, that fight week if they weren't on the show and stuff. I think even Mendes, who was in the main event on that Vegas show, flew Southwest. So, you know, it's like UFC and WWE, as the companies, they do kind of take more money out of the main profits than other sports that have unions, like the NBA has a union, NFL has a union, baseball has a union. So... he does make some good, like I say, he does make some good points, but then you say that he makes those dumb points like the one you were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's going to do fairly well on the indies, probably for a few years. I would imagine he does very well on the indies.
He could get over in Japan, and then he'll make
a lot of
money at all the conventions, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because from what I was like seeing and just the money that I know that WrestleCon spent on their whole, you know, on everything down there, for them to spend that much money up front, the convention business, if it's a good big convention like that, is a money maker for the most part. And I think that's why you see so many of those in cons, you know, so much nowadays and stuff. So he'll make more money. He won't have to work. I mean, he won't make more money, but he'll make decent money. He won't have to work, travel as much, you know. So, he'll be all right for a while if he doesn't end up coming back. And then, who knows, it might work out for him. He might get a good contract out of it. Who knows what can happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your statement about him going to Japan, I think he would be an awesome foreigner for those guys. I mean, he's a big, jacked up dude, and I think he would do fairly well. Maybe not with,
especially,
you know, maybe not with New Japan, but one of some of those other companies that they bring the foreigners in, they do really well.
Well, New Japan's had a lot of big foreigners that really weren't that good. I mean, let's look at Luke Gallows. I mean,
that's true.
Is all Carl Anderson, but, you know, Luke Gallows still got over in Japan. Michael Elgin is a great worker, but he really didn't have a lot of personality. I think Ryback's wackiness would get him over with the Japanese crowd, just him, you know, kind of just being wacky and just being just so fucking gigantic. So, you know, I think he'd get over any company in Japan, really. And then, you know, he's so big that they're enamored with, like, these giant Americans and stuff. So I think he can get over there and stuff.
I've always liked him. I thought he, for a big guy, he's pretty decent. I actually think he's probably, yeah, when he's given good stuff to say, he's a hell of a promo. I think he has great delivery and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I like his promos.
And they actually did a good job in rehabbing him, like, last year. Well, when was it, like, last year or the year before, when all of a sudden they were trying to get him, like, whose team is he going to be on the Survivor Series or something, after he spent all that time teaming with Curtis Axel and doing jobs and shit like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they made him babyface again. And I don't know, then they just had the Blues start making him a heel a few months ago. I didn't understand that, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And going to Japan would be the best thing for him. Then they can, then they probably bring him back later. You know? Maybe better for him. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Some time off always does people good.
Some people, not all people. Like, look at Del Rio. It didn't really help him.
Well, there's an exception to every rule, isn't there?
Yeah.
Well, they already, they haven't given him much to do either.
Very true. The League of Nations sure did wonders for him. Thank God that's over.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I'm really happy for Rusev that he gets Rusev out of there, because I've always fucking liked Rusev.
Yes. What an anchor that was for that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, they really brought him down with that. but hopefully they'll get him going.
They're going to put the title back, the U.S. title back on him again like they did last time.
There's no reason why he shouldn't win the title.
I just been expecting him to lose it, like, every time he defends it.
Yep.
No?
Yep. Oh, my goodness.
I just figured they were keeping it on him because they wanted a Latino star, you know, kind of like Ray Jr. or somebody like that again. But.
And then they don't even, like, you know, before the pre-show paper match was Ryback. When was the last time he had a match? Wasn't it the one with Sin Cara where it was a tournament, and they had to make it where they had him look like he got hurt on the outside so they could beat Sin Cara.
Oh, yeah.
So, they put the title on him, and then they don't even put him on TV. You know what I mean? Unless you're watching the pre-show, you don't even get to see Sin Cara. I mean, Sin Cara, Kalisto.
Well, speaking of getting legit hurt, it's fucking Enzo Amore. I thought he killed him the other night.
Yeah, let's get into the pay per view. I've got some things to say about Enzo.
We're actually getting a call here.
Okay.
And it's, I don't know why I'm going to take this call, because it's going to be a horrible call. But what do you want, Alex?
Oh, let Alex on. Hey, what's going on, Ed? What's going on, Craig? What's going on, Contreras?
We weren't having a good show until right now.
Oh, that's a lie. My question is if Ryback leaves, do you think he's going to fail a wellness test? That's my question.
Oh, wow. Talk about...
Is it going to be Tully Blanchard?
Talk about the steroided elephant in the room. Jeez. You know,
if they were going to catch him, they would have caught him with Victor and Adam Rose.
Yeah, that's different, though, Ed. This is, you know, WWE is one of those places where they basically tell you when the test comes up, so you know when to cycle in and cycle off, you know? He goes to Japan, they don't care, right?
Yeah.
Good TNA, they don't care.
He goes to TNA, they'll probably, you know, give him more.
I don't think ROH
has they work like once every 3 months in TNA. So he has time. So,
you know what's funny? If they really, really wanted to get rid of the guy, they would just do a surprise test on the guy. Come on, you can't look at that guy and don't think he's on the juice.
He looks natural.
I mean, this obviously tanked. This tanked Arn Anderson's financial ability when he went back to WCW, because
Jim Herd was negotiating with Tully and Arn, and then when Tully got popped for coke when he left the company, Jim Herd renegotiated Arn Anderson's contract for less money because he saw more value in the team than he did in Arn as a single. So, and then also, this didn't affect his earnings, but I've been listening to a lot of older pro wrestling torches, and then he brought Wade brought up the fact that Scott Hall, on his way out of the company, also failed a drug test. So, I mean, this isn't unprecedented. It's that a guy leaving the company will all of a sudden fail a drug test.
Or his house can get raided right after he leaves the company, like Jeff Hardy.
That's different.
Like, Cena Punk's going to call the police on Ryback like he did on Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy had so much stuff, though. I mean, they charged him with distribution. Jeff Hardy had a lot of stuff. I support Ryback. Obviously I think his comments on Tumblr were a little stupid, but, I think hopefully he does well. So, well, I mean, the egalitarian, everyone should be paid the same. It's kind of silly. I mean, obviously, yes,
dumb.
It was dumb. But I support, he's got a different look. He's got a different style. And, I think he'd be a fresh, if he went to New Japan, I think he would be a fresh mix in there because New Japan kind of has – the guys wrestle different, but they're kind of the same athletic, fast pace, same kind of style, and Ryback would provide different. So I'd be interested to see him in New Japan.
Also, I wonder how the ROH crowd would react to him.
He'd get a lot of heat.
I think – they've been kind of toning down their style as of late, but then, of course, they've also been doing a lot of shows with New Japan. I wonder if he would get over as a monster heel if they did a little repackage job on the guy. Maybe
I would
take off the Dayglo colors and put him in black.
Considering the only guy even close to his size is Moose, and he's a lot bigger than Moose. If they booked him as a monster and just have him go in and kill everybody at first, I think he'd get over big time in ROH. ROH isn't the smarty crowd that it used to be, years ago. So I think he'd get over.
And that was kind of the direction
he'd get a lot
of
heat.
Go with Takeshi Morishima, is that the monster comes and kills everyone. But I think Ryback, I think Ryback's a better promo. I think Ryback has a better presence. Takeshi Morishima was chosen because, he was on the ASIN and NOAH. It was likely he was going to be, and he did eventually win the GHC title. But, I mean, Ryback, he's got a little bit something to him. And then also his matches with Kalisto, formerly Samurai del Sol on the Indies, those are good matches. So, I mean, seemingly, some of those guys he could have really good matches with.
He's a good base for high flyers, that's for sure.
I would love to see what Jay Lethal could do with him. I mean, Lethal... he's such a master. I was watching him Ring of Honor television this week and what he was doing with Leo Rush and then later the promo with Colt Cabana. I mean, Jay Lethal is really, really good at professional wrestling.
I was in the building for that Leo Rush and Jay Lethal match, and that was an incredible match. And I didn't even – it's the first time I'd ever seen Leo Rush. That guy's going to be awesome.
If he wrestles Jay Lethal every night, he certainly will be. I mean, Lethal.
Well,
Leo Rush, I'm excited to see more from him. He's another guy, in the elk of Adam Cole, who was trained out at CZW Wrestling School. And, I mean, when you think of CZW, you think of hardcore, the matches like Drake Younger and the like used to have. But, I mean, every once in a while, man, every 2 to 3 years, they'll turn out a really good wrestler. Like I said, Adam Cole is one of them who was trained from the start at the CZW Wrestling School. And, I mean, their head trainer now, Drew Gulak, I believe, was also trained at the CZW School. And even though they've kind of made their market, blood and gore, they've really turned out some quality professional wrestlers. So hopefully, he continues that lineage.
Speaking of CZW and ROH, the old ROH-CZW feud was actually restarted and rekindled at the WrestleCon show in Dallas, where ROH's top student, Manny Leone, faced CZW's top student, Brittany Blake, in a match at the WrestleCon show.
You know, yeah. What's interesting is at the time when that feud was going on, at the CZW shows, they always talked about how bland Bryan Danielson was. And I was certainly in that camp, and it was during that feud. He had a match with Sanjay Dutt where the crowd was chanting, "You're a jobber." And Dutt was pointing at Danielson, and Danielson said, "No, I think they're talking about you." And that was one of the first moments I'd actually seen his personality. Because, I mean, he had good, you know, matches, but, I mean, there was a little bit of blandness to him, I think, especially considering the pro wrestling I grew up with more personality, bigger acts, you know. And Bryan Danielson, you know, certainly took me a little bit to get warmed up to. So, I mean, when CZW was calling him bland, and I certainly fell into that camp where I didn't see it in Bryan Danielson initially. I mean, you know, it's funny because, you know, people who do, you know, this even as a hobby or professionally, I was talking about it with some friends about Will Ospreay. You want to be ahead of the curve, not behind it. And certainly, you know, I can remember times when I've seen a guy and just not got it. I just don't get it. You know, like right now, a little bit with Will Ospreay, I see someone who's incredibly athletic.
A lot of things. Especially if it comes to humor.
certainly there's different humor styles, but I mean, I look at Ospreay and I guess I'm curious you guys' thoughts on this as well, is that Ospreay, very athletic, but his pro wrestling matches kind of leave a little bit to be desired with me. They look a lot like exhibitions, but I think eventually, you know, with that kind of athleticism, he can be good, but he's got to learn, I guess, he doesn't have to, but I would like to see him, I guess, learn how to have a more constructed pro wrestling match. So kind of, I guess, what are you guys' thoughts on Ospreay?
I really love watching him work, but I understand where you're coming with. Even with Bryan Danielson in the beginning, they kind of had this Dean Malenko type stigma about them. In the ring, they're just very mechanical and very fluid in everything they do, and everything looks crisp and awesome, but then the personality isn't there. And there's a lot of guys that are really great in the ring on the indies. I kind of think like Timothy Thatcher comes to mind when I think about guys like that. Just technically sound, technically great, and nothing in the personality. So I understand what you're saying, though.
If you're talking about Will Ospreay, the only thing I know of Will Ospreay is that he is the Marty Jannetty when it comes to his tag team with him and Leva Bates. They are a tag team, actually.
Where are they attacking at?
In Europe, in Progressive.
Oh, I was actually
They come to the ring wearing the Assassin's Creed gimmicks.
Oh, like, okay.
Yeah,
I saw Will work at WrestleCon this last year, the WrestleCon Super Show, and he worked Marty Scurll. And that match was so amazing. It was so great. Even Tom Lawler was marking out right there with me. So, yeah, it was just a phenomenal match.
Craig with the name drops. Come on, Craig.
Yeah, that's what I do, brother.
I noticed that too, Ed. I was waiting for him to say Missy too. You know, it was Tom,
well,
and Missy and I watching the match. Craig.
Well, you see, if I drop one name in 1 year on this podcast, I will be far, far, far behind Edward Laredo at name drops. So there you go.
Ed literally the other day on Facebook
name
posted. Ed on Facebook the other day literally posted the last five WrestleManias who he sat with, and that was like the ultimate name drop.
Well, I can't help but I get hot girls to go to WrestleMania with me. Not my fault. right before we took your call, Craig wanted to switch over and talk about Enzo Amore. And I know that you were posting about that match on Twitter, Alex. In fact, one of your good buddy Raven took a screen cap of your tweet and put it on his Facebook and talked about how he's happy he has a block button because of tweets like that. And I don't know if he actually blocked you or whatever, but I guess we can start talking about that since you seem to have some
strong
opinions.
I went through the tweet site.
How dare he?
Yeah, what was up with the tweet?
A lot of himself.
Basically,
basically I said Gotch should have been fired for that because basically what you're alluding to is during the tag team match between the Vaudevillains and Enzo and Cass, there was a spot where Gotch was going to whip Enzo into the other side of the ring, and Enzo was going to baseball slide out of the ring, but unfortunately he had a miscue, and he slammed his neck and head against the second and bottom rope, and he rolled out and appeared to be knocked out. And you always have to understand on television, you're getting a better angle of it than people live and certainly people in the building nonetheless. But immediately what you saw was the referee go over, as he should have, because the spot did look weird, and the referee went over to check. Gotch moves the referee out of the way and attempts to pick up Enzo before the referee tells him, hey, let him go. Now, you know, listen, I was talking with a friend of mine, Gotch. I remember when he wrestled in Southern California, even before I started training. So he's had plenty of experience doing pro wrestling matches. And so the thing is that when you see something like that happens weird, you let the ref check on the guy, and the ref is going to be the communication between the fallen guy and you. So you let the ref go check on him because the spot looked kind of weird. Let him get back to you about what you're going to do moving forward. But absolutely, when someone hurts themselves like that, you don't go to pick them up. And I did feel more, you know, I felt more passionate about it certainly the night of. I just thought it was disgusting night of. And afterwards, you know, certainly I talked to some people about it on my Facebook page, and one of my buddies, Matt Hack, who has done, you know, promoted a lot of pro wrestling shows in the Northeast, you know, he had said that definitely he feels maybe a suspension would be more appropriate, and I tend to agree with that. I mean, there's got to be some kind of reprimand because you simply – that's just unacceptable. You can't do that.
Well, I got a text from a buddy of mine who writes a newsletter. I won't say his name because I don't like to drop names.
Dave Meltzer?
He actually
oh,
I
wait.
Won't say names.
Alan Farrell, wait, okay, it was either Alan Farrell, Dr. Lucha, Peach, Dix, or someone else. Because Brian Howard don't write a newsletter no more.
Anyway.
It's only in his name. He has no writing duty for that thing at all.
That's because he didn't cover the golfer trial, so he had nothing to write about. So.
Anyway, the text I got from this person, it said that he had talked to somebody in WWE, and apparently there was a double knee spot that had happened earlier in the match, and Enzo got knocked out loopy with the double knees. He had actually not gone unconscious, but he was pretty much out on his feet. And then seconds later, they're going to do this baseball slide spot where Enzo dives outside, but he's half gone and half out of it. And then by the time he went to do the slide, he caught his arm on the rope and his head slammed against the mat and he got knocked out again.
You know, I was actually going to bring this up later, but since you're talking about that's what Brian said happened, and Dave, I think, also said the same thing. On Twitter, if you're following everyone's favorite internet wrestling troll, Rovert, he is very, very outspoken that Brian and Dave are wrong, that that's not what happened, and so on and so, and making a big shit about it on Twitter about it. But either way, I mean, had he not gotten knocked out the first time, he definitely would have gotten knocked out the second time because he hit that rope pretty hard and then bounced off and just went straight to the mat. And he was coming out of that concussion no matter where it happened. But,
I mean, Craig, I mean, you know, did I state anything incorrectly about what, you know, should have taken place after that kind of spot? I mean, there should have been some communication between him and the ref, and there wasn't, and I blame Gotch for being one of the performers in the ring.
You have to understand that, like, okay, they're in front of a lot of people, they're on live pay-per-view, some shit happens, I can see Gotch kind of panicking, you said there should have been communication. Well, the referee should have said something to Gosh before he told him that, you know, before he touched him. So you got to put
the
part,
referee's
got to
check
half
on
of that
first.
On the referee. You got to put half
referee's
of that on the referee
check on first.
Yeah, and then like I say, it's like Gosh has got a lot of shit going on in his head. You know what I mean? He's maybe just he didn't have any ill intentions, but he just didn't. He just wasn't thinking clearly, or that you know wasn't popping into his head. And he did something stupid because he just, you know, maybe at the heat of the moment, because like I say, he's live on pay-per-view, shit's going wrong. There's 10,000 people, maybe more. You know, he knows they're not as over as they need to be. He's like, you know, there's a lot of pressure on the dude at that one moment. So it's not, it's easy in hindsight to say, hey, this is what you do. But when it's live coming at you a million miles an hour, it's like sometimes you don't think fast enough. And you make mistakes, especially when there's not a referee telling you beforehand. So I think the referee deserves that. If you're going to blame the Gotch, you have to blame the referee and give him 50% of that.
No, he shouldn't have picked him up. I mean, you know, he saw the spot go awry. If he didn't see it, then you always watch your opponent when you throw him into something because there's going to be something that follows. So I don't buy that he didn't see the way he hit the ropes, okay? So that's the first thing is you have to throw that out the window. So he saw the awkward way in which he hit the ropes and how he rolled out. Now, obviously, he didn't have the same angle we did of the floor when he kind of crumpled up, so he wouldn't have known that. But, I mean, it's just standard. Like, after a big bump, you always see the referee run, and he is checking on the guys, and there's a way that he does it to communicate with the guys. It's not verbally. So the referee knows the guy's okay after a big bump. So then there was an awkward looking bump. The referee should have. And listen, this is being done in little small indies in Texas and in California. I mean, this is not even World Wrestling Entertainment. So to say they don't have a protocol after a weird looking bump, then suspend fucking everybody. You know, I mean, it's ludicrous. You know, I just don't buy it. I don't buy what you said, Ed. I don't. There should have been something done because you can't have that because Enzo could have gotten seriously hurt from being picked up. Lawler tells that story every week about how his friend, you know, got injured because he was picked up after a bad bump in a nightclub. I mean, you can't pick the guy up. We know better.
In his defense, and I'll just say this, it's a sport where everything's a work. There's been times where I've been in the ring and I've been selling and the guy I'm working with will stop and go, are you okay? Yeah, I'm selling. you know what I mean? So you work in this business where everything's a work and you're trying to work the people. And Enzo's, I think Brian said it best when he said Enzo kind of takes bumps like a rag doll. So I don't know that Gotch saw his head smash on the mat. I know that he saw him get caught up in the ropes. So with that, did he know the guy was hurt? Well, obviously not, or he wouldn't have tried to pick him up. So I kind of put that on the ref. The ref, obviously, it was obvious from our vantage point because the camera was right there. As he's sliding out of the ring, his arms are, you know, up and limp, and there is a far-off look in those eyes. It was obvious from our vantage point, but Gotch was in the ring with Enzo's back to him. So Gotch probably, obviously, figured out that, hey, the guy's selling, but he was actually hurt. So I kind of see where the mistake could be made. And I would say that, you know, that he's at fault, but I don't know that it really is. I think it was just an unfortunate circumstance to everyone involved, including the referee. So,
Alex, when Craig agrees with me, that means you are just totally wrong.
No. I'm not saying that Alex is wrong. I'm saying that there's two sides to every story. And Alex has a point, and Ed's got his car door going off. But anyway, it's just an unfortunate thing, and I don't think really anybody's at fault except for the stupid ropes. Now, with the double knees, maybe probably could have thrown those a little lighter. I don't know.
All I know is that if Al Snow was here, he'd yell at all y'all for thinking I know what's going on in the wrestling business. That's what I know.
Who's getting out of their car?
What is that noise?
Not me.
What are you doing, Alex?
Maybe you guys are hearing the printer at work. Maybe you guys are hearing the printer at work.
Okay. There we go. Okay. So right, anyway,
well,
that's all.
I declare myself the winner of this argument. Like always, every time I argue with Alex, I win.
No, but I mean, certainly, you know, like I said, you know, I certainly felt very passionate about it that night because, I mean, just looking at it without taking everything else in, you know, like, oh, man, you know, you tried to pick him up and obviously he's knocked out. But then you do have to make considerations for, like I said, the live audience on TV is going to see a lot more angles than he would have seen in the ring. But, man, you know, it's just you know, and then there's this overarching thing as well that there is an attitude in the sport where the show must go on. And I just feel that, you know, just in general, not specific to this incident, is that mentality, you know, needs to be changed. You know, I feel like it causes more injury sometimes when guys have that mentality. You know, you can't have a member of the executive board on Twitter. Actually, I took a screenshot of it. She says, I play a villain on television. You can't have that on Twitter, which is a public profile, and then say, you know, in the ring, oh, well, you know, the show must go on. I mean, if a guy's hurt, there's a difference. But if a guy's injured, then we need to look into communicating and getting to either a finish if we can do it safely or just going home right then or just stopping the match completely. I mean, we talk about the UFC and how the UFC has educated guys to submission maneuvers and different types of finishes. Well, if a guy gets hurt in the UFC, even though the UFC's purpose is to hurt people, if a guy gets really injured, I mean, they'll stop the fight. We've seen that on a number of occasions. And so I definitely think that conversation should be happening about professional wrestling as well.
I'm sure.
Well, I mean, it sucks when you have incidents like this, but having an incident like this also helps in the future because it becomes a talking point and it becomes a point of discussion, and that's how you get changes. It just changes and just happen because it happens. It's you learn from your mistakes and as things go on. So, you know, yeah, maybe this was close to being a bad incident, but maybe it'll like open eyes, and then it won't. The next time something like this happens, they'll know not to touch the dude until the referee, or the referee will know to get in there and make sure he communicates to the guy and tell the guy don't touch the guy if he's even slightly worried about the other wrestler. You know.
Absolutely, I'm sure there was a meeting right after this. You know, probably in the locker room that night. Okay, if this happens again, let's try to do this instead of this. If you don't learn from your mistakes, you're bound to repeat them. So hopefully something was done, something was said, some people were coached up, as it were.
But the match specifically, I mean, it's incredible how well, and you know, because there was a period of time where I couldn't stand the act of Enzo and Big Cass, and I mean, since they've
Same
been
here.
Called up, Enzo has just a certain charisma that is just really. That guy is something special. And I hope, you know, because I'm hearing rumblings about Vince falling in love with Big Cass. I hope they don't break up that group because him and Enzo together, I'm really interested to see how they're going to interact with the Dudleys, considering Bully Ray and his ability to cut promos. And I think that's going to be an interesting feud. Hopefully in the summer they're able to continue it with Enzo coming back. But, you know, in the Vaudevillains right now, I think that because they've been introduced in this tournament, they've not been able to have a conflict with someone. And now as they begin the feud with Enzo and Ben Cass and then the New Day, hopefully some kind of conflict with another team brings out their attributes because I thought that they showed ranges in NXT to where, now I don't think the act has a lot of legs, So I think that repackaging is going to be necessary, but hopefully we see different dynamics from that team to where I'm not ready to give up on them yet, even though I know a lot are.
You know, the Vaudevillains, I like the Vaudevillains. I think both guys are unique in the way they work, and I'm a fan of them. But if you really, really look at it, the Vaudevillains were only over one time, and it had absolutely nothing to do with them. After that, they weren't known really. They weren't a big deal before the Brooklyn Takeover. They weren't a big deal after the Brooklyn Takeover. They're a big deal at the Brooklyn Takeover and had nothing to do with them. So I don't even know why they brought them up, because it's just not a gimmick that's going to work on the main stage at all.
Agreed.
Yes.
Craig, any thoughts?
No, I don't.
What was the guy them over at the Brooklyn Takeover? I don't remember.
Because Blue Pants was
don't
with
do
them.
It.
Everybody was going crazy
about
Blue Pants, chanting Blue Pants City.
I don't even know why I fucking asked. Jesus
Ooh.
Christ!
But it's true. I'm not lying. Am I lying, Alex?
Nobody gives a fuck.
Ooh. I just
you know I
can't believe
that cuts you off, Alex.
Can you draw a different name, at least? You know?
The what?
Can you drop different people's names instead of the same person every fucking week?
God damn. All right, Ken.
Do you know anybody else?
I know a lot of people.
Well, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you think you do.
Yeah.
All right, back to your corners. Let's take a little break and then come in with the quick recap of the pay per view, shall we?
There was a pay per view.
Okay. Yes, there was a pay per view. It was on the network. Perhaps you saw it.
I honestly only saw parts of it. I was working while I was trying to watch it.
Okay. Well, I've got the notes here. First matchup was Dolph Ziggler pinning Baron Corbin in 7:41, talking about guys who haven't lit the world on fire. Baron Corbin.
He's already under
500.
Because then he loses to Ziggler again or something.
That I don't know.
Then like he loses on SmackDown or what happened? I didn't get to see Raw either, but I think he's already under 500.
That sounds right. I mean, I don't know for 100% because I don't watch SmackDown anymore. I'm just being honest. But, talk about running in place.
He needs some hair plugs, too. He needs hair plugs big time.
This was the worst match on the show. Just saying.
He would have really benefited from some features, and that's one area where NXT really does better than WWE is that they air features, and then the more I knew about Baron Corbin, the more interested I was in him as an act. And specifically, you know, his work as a heel made a lot more sense because of the way he talked about, and it wasn't, you know, your traditional heel promos. It was just, you know, I'm an athlete, I play in the NFL, and I'm better than all the guys here. I was recruited. These other guys begged and came. And he would have done a lot better with vignettes. And unfortunately, they've not done that. And it's sad that they've already lost interest in him because I really thought, you know, he could have been something in the next couple of years.
He was way more interesting on that Breaking Ground show on the network.
You're absolutely right.
I thought.
You know, they bring up four acts all together, and before they showed up, Enzo Cash or maybe on one of those network specials, but they bring all these four guys up pretty much right after WrestleMania. Did they have a video package for any of the four, or did the four guys just show up cold with no intro? Like, hey, I'm Apollo Crews. Hey, we're the Vaudevillains. Hey, I'm the lone wolf dude with who needs hair plugs. You know what I mean? Did they mention any of them before they actually debuted, other than Enzo and Cass?
They gave Apollo Crews a video as a segment before he debuted. That counts for anything.
Well,
was
they
it
were,
before he debuted,
they were really
or
busy.
Was it the week after he debuted? Because I think it was after.
I think it was the week before.
No, it was after because the first time he debuted, he was shaking hands with Shane, and then he had the first match. And then the next week is when they had, or maybe it was 2 weeks later, they had that video.
But they also had a video before he debuted, as I remember it. It was just like a little 15-second thing, but still.
All I know is they were probably too busy making all those cologne videos for the returning guys from Puerto Rico.
Which
that will never get over.
For that act.
I don't even understand the gimmick.
Act.
What is their gimmick? What are they? Are they fucking? Are they tour the guys who you know book vacations or are they? I don't know what the fuck they are.
Anyway, next matchup was Kalisto pinning Ryback 8:32. We already talked a lot about this. It's actually a pretty good match. Kalisto looked good, and as I said, Ryback's a perfect base for high flyers. Third up was Aiden English and Simon Gotch. They beat Kaz and Enzo Amore. The official time is 3:59. Of course, Enzo was knocked out. Very tragic, and have fun following that because the air was sucked out of that arena and it was sucked out of the living room at my house. Everybody was very worried about Enzo. But if they didn't bring it, Kevin Owens pinned Sami Zayn at 14:34. This match was awesome.
I mean, these guys can probably have a good match with their eyes closed. I mean, they've wrestled each other so many times. And what's interesting is that we're complaining about vignettes and how crappy the clones is and how Cruz and Baron didn't get one. But here's one where they did a vignette. A simple story.
Yep.
These guys have known each other for years. And, wow, you know, it adds a little bit to the match for new fans who maybe have heard of the guys or maybe never heard of the guys. It gives them a reason to be interested. No titles are on the line. I liked everything about this.
I didn't understand doing the clean finish in that first match.
I love the cover. I love the cover. That was actually my favorite part of the whole match was just the way Steen just fell on him and laid on him without even trying to cover him, really. I mean, I thought that was awesome. But, yeah, I'm actually surprised it was as clean as it was. But, at least if the program hasn't ended, I mean, you know, they're going to have a good match come the next show with all four guys.
Because it looked kind of silly in the next match when Zayn came and jumped over the announce table at him because it's not like he got cheated. I don't know why you're so upset. So.
Everybody's been complaining about Sami Zayn losing time and time and time again. It's going to end with Sami Zayn with the Intercontinental title. And it's,
you know what?
Go ahead.
Oh, I wanted to say, you know, I want to give credit. Todd Martin over at the Torch has been saying this. Sami Zayn is the one guy who, you know, WWE's formula is to beat baby faces until they gain sympathy. But unfortunately, I don't think it ever works with most guys. I think Sami Zayn is going to be the one guy where it will work because he has maybe it's because all the years he wore a mask. But he has a way to sell with his entire body that I think really gets the fans into it. And I think that in the system where you lose all the time and he's going to get over it losing.
I can tell you why that doesn't work in the WWE. It's just they don't have enough time on TV to do that. Okay,
but
you
can
have the babyface lose all the matches, but if he's fighting the guy toe-to-toe for 10 minutes and puts up a hell of a fight and does everything he can, he can get over. But when you have 2 minutes to do it, you can't get over. It's a negative losing that quick because what are you gonna? You're gonna have a shine for 30 seconds and then get your ass kicked. I mean, that doesn't get you over. That's why, like Sami Zayn, he's so good at his face. He's so good at every little thing where he has the ability. And same thing with Daniel Bryan. They have so much that they could get that over in a couple minutes. Whereas most guys, they can't. They need to shine as much as possible, and they just aren't given that opportunity. And that's why it never works in WWE, except for the rare occasions when you have like a Daniel Bryan or a Sami Zayn.
I just think guys like winners. You know, I think guys like winners. I think, you know, the reason why Ed every night on Facebook says go Spurs go is because they win. I mean, I'm sure in 1996 he wasn't saying go Spurs go when they were losers, you know, losing every game with the worst record in the NBA. That's all I had to say.
Yeah, and then 2 years later we won the world title and we won four more since.
Okay, match number five, The Miz pinned Cesaro in 11:19. I thought this was pretty good for a Miz match, just being honest. But, again, he was in there with Cesaro. Distraction finish. Eh, it was good.
Let's talk about
yeah,
personality,
I thought it was
a
good idea to keep
Observer, Hall of Famer. I just want to say, let's talk about first ballot. Oh, yeah,
Katrina. So the Miz is the first ballot? I agree.
You think so?
Maurice is the first ballot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to talk about first ballot Hall of Famer real quick, Miz. I mean, you know, Craig earlier was discussing Alberto Del Rio. I heard this while I was on hold. And how Alberto Del Rio's career hasn't gone in a good way since he's come back. But the thing that you guys neglected to mention is that he signed that really big contract upon coming back. So ultimately his pockets are doing a lot better than what he was doing before. So I forgot
who said this,
but there's right. I mean, there's two different games. I believe Jalen Rose said this about Chris Webber. There's the game of life and the game of the sport. And Webber never met his potential on the basketball court, but he made a lot of money. And you look at Miz, and Miz has decent wrestling matches, headlined WrestleMania, was the world champion, and he married Maurice, who is a very, very attractive woman. And then now he's figured out a scheme to get Maurice to go on the road with him and get money off the Total Divas project. I mean, I understand that, you know, Abdul the Butcher and Frank, you know, Gotch and Hackenschmidt are Wrestling Observer Hall of Famers, but in this new era where no one's a draw and we're looking for categories to compare guys' history, I say, listen, Miz is the first ballot Wrestling Observer Hall of Famer for all the reasons I just gave you. Has okay matches night in, night out, and headlined WrestleMania as the world champion, and then also married Maurice, and now Maurice is on the road with him. And Cesaro's new gimmick is stupid.
He has a new gimmick.
Yeah.
What is it? Well, he comes out fully clothed and takes his clothes off? That's a fact. I don't care.
I think it's awesome. I think it's perfect
awesome
for him. He comes out. Yeah, he's got that reality show thing, so. Yeah, it'll be all right. Okay. This is the kind of the match I kind of wanted to talk about. Dean Ambrose pinned Chris Jericho. This match went 18 minutes and 26 seconds.
It did?
And I was bored for 19 minutes of this. Yes, you heard me.
I don't know much about it, to be honest.
I was very, very bored. It picked up there at the end, but Brian and Dave going on and on about how this was a really great match, I don't get it.
They've seen Lance Storm on Twitter. They don't want to make him upset.
The last 3 minutes of this match were pretty good, and it picked up to where it needed to. But for 15 minutes, I was comatose. I was bored. Just being honest.
And if you're bored, Craig Popper.
I honestly didn't get to see a lot of this match other than the finish, so I really can't comment. But, yeah, when Craig says something bad about one of his favorites, like Dean Ambrose, I guess it's got to be bad.
Yeah, I didn't. I know it was Jericho calling the thing because this was a totally Chris Jericho match. I mean, it was old school. It was good, but it was pretty boring for 15 minutes, I swear. Anyway.
What do you think with Dean Ambrose moving forward? Because, I mean,
since he's lost to Roman Reigns on multiple pay-per-views, he's kind of lost a lot of whatever he had. When, you know, last summer people were arguing he should have been pushed as the top guy in the company. And now he kind of seems to be floating. So, I mean, what are you guys' ideas of what you should even do with him?
I'll tell you what should happen is what should have happened months and months ago. They turn Roman heel, I mean full-fledged heel. I mean not, you know, he, you know, is kind of acting like a jerk in the ring. I mean full-fledged dirty heel. And you put Ambrose up against him, and you give Ambrose the title at WrestleMania. That's like the only thing that's going to get this guy over at this point. These mid-card feuds that go nowhere, it just, and he's stuck in this thing with Jericho. They're going to have another match, you know, a plant on a pole match. I don't know.
Sounds like anyway. Something that had a WCW 2000 or something like that. Plant on a pole.
Yeah. So next matchup was. You want me to continue?
Well, yes. Let me just say, I think Ambrose is pretty much going to be. He's going to stay somewhat over, not as over as he should be, but he's going to be doing the same thing that he's been doing for the past year, basically, just floating around between the main event and mid-card, and that's just what's going to happen with him.
If they do some type of Shield Bullet Club thing, then, I mean, Dean may be the front guy, or he or Seth Rollins. Hopefully it'd be Dean again, and then maybe then we'd be able to see him in his – I think – all three guys were the best while they were in the Shield, so maybe they can figure it out then. But I don't know. Yeah, hopefully something, because, I mean, he's a good talent, so hopefully they figure out something for him.
Next matchup was Charlotte beating Natalya in 13:03 in the dumbest thing I have seen in months on WWE TV. They did the Montreal screw job with Charles Robinson, and it was dumb. Dumb.
Yes. It was horrible.
Yeah, I would like to say I had my phone to the side of me when I'm working and I saw the finish and I was like, what the fuck just happened here? Did they really just do that? And apparently they did.
Yeah.
But it seemed like they were having a good match before that happened.
It wasn't like
Matty
Hunt. Like 100 other ways you could get to a rematch than this finish right here. Just stupid.
Yep.
They got Matt Britt did that fucking radio interview, and they're like, okay, you want to be a dick? We'll be a dick, too.
Yeah,
it was funny. I was watching the show with my son, who was not born in 1997. And he's like, I don't get it, Dad. And I was like, neither do I, son. Neither do I. And then they had the whole Vince and Shane and Stephanie thing, blah, 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 blah. He put them both in charge. What a disaster this was. Bringing us to the main event where Roman Reigns pinned AJ Styles in 22 minutes and 35 seconds. I really enjoyed this match. I thought it was the best Roman's looked in a very, very long time.
Yeah, even with the two false finishes, I thought this was a hell of a match.
Back to the Shane Vince stuff thing. I mean, they were able to take what is the worst part of Monday Night Raw each and every single week, which is these long promos, and they brought it to the pay-per-views, which have been really good. And I thought that was incredible that they did that. And then the payoff was that they're both going to run the show, which hijinks will occur. And the McMahons will continue to be the focus of the show at the behest of all the wrestlers on it. And then you had AJ Styles against Roman Reigns, who just amazing the 2 years AJ Styles has had, having great professional wrestling matches across the world. And now here he is in World Wrestling Entertainment and having great matches. This one against Roman Reigns, who is a very, very systematic wrestler, right? He kind of has the same format to a lot of his matches. He and AJ were able to go out there and just have a really, really good match. And then AJ's development, you know, AJ's always been a really good wrestler. He's very athletic. But, I mean, his series of matches that he had with Kurt Angle, I really think prepared him for World Wrestling Entertainment and beyond, because Kurt Angle, you know, is one of the best professional wrestlers of my lifetime. And AJ to have so many matches against him, you know, their feud, And man, it was really, really good. The way the Usos were incorporated with it, and you know, Anderson and Gallows, it left the story open moving forward with those acts, because even though Styles and Gallows and Anderson are now teaming up, you're not quite sure what's going to happen. I think the Finn Balor stuff may end up being the red herring, because I don't think that they're going to make the story as obvious as what you think it's going to be, which I think is very interesting, and I like that. And then, honestly, this storyline, while I don't think it's working for all the audience, considering that, you know, all of us on this phone call, I think, know the history of all these men, it's certainly working for me, because I find it interesting, and I like the intrigue, and I like, you know, how they – I like how everyone's being utilized. I'm a big fan of all this.
Yeah, this is the best thing they've done with the main event, program in a very, very long time. And I'm very intrigued. I look forward to it now. I can't say that was the case, you know, a lot of last year, just being honest. So this is good stuff.
Yeah, they
so that was a payback
intriguing angle for once. And AJ's so good at just whenever he does something that's like, even though there are guys who can do way more crazier shit than he can do now, like Ricochet or Will Ospreay, he has such body control that he makes, even though his stuff's a lot simpler, it just looks more beautiful because of just the way he spreads everything out, and just the way it looks like he's almost in slow motion when he's flying. I mean, he's fucking
awesome.
He's
so graceful. He's like a ballet dancer, kind of.
Yeah, seriously.
And I remember back when, you know, he was in TNA, and he was most known for, at least known, I remember Brian always pointed this out, about how he would throw himself into the guardrail or over the top rope, and his body would contort in such a way. And, I mean, that was one of the, you know, that was one of the defining moments of AJ Styles at the time, is what crazy, stupid bump is he going to take this match? And he's completely toned that down. And it's quite the maturation of him and his style.
Yep.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yep, he's phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, we were going to talk about the Captain America Civil War movie that's coming out. And I know, Alex, you have no real sense of anything that's entertainment other than wrestling or MMA. So
jeez.
I don't know if you have any interest in the Captain America
call.
Movie.
Thank you for taking my call. And UFC 200 is coming up, and I look forward to seeing everyone there. And I know Craig of this formula not coming, so.
We'll see what happens. All right, Alex. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. Keep it easy, guys.
Okay, take care.
Later on, Alex. So, like, Craig, if, like, let's say the Tropicana book Pro Jam the weekend that we're there in Vegas, would you come?
Absolutely. But that's not happening, so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
anyway.
So,
Craig, you wanted
I haven't seen
to
this
talk
movie
about
yet.
The. Yeah, Katara wanted to talk about this the Civil War movie coming out, do a preview, so I'll let you start off, Katara.
Yeah, I saw this movie. It is the best of all the Marvel movies and has probably
I've heard
the
that.
Best. Huh?
I've heard that. I've heard it's like
yeah, and it probably has
one of
the best.
Best.
The best, there's the... There's a big airport scene with everybody, like the main battle, and it's probably the best comic book, you know, like superhero fight scene of, like, any superhero movie I've ever seen, probably. I'll say
that. That's
got a great
impressive
story. Spider-Man is, like, incredible in this. It's like, puts all the two Spider-Men to shame. Like
how
the,
much, like, okay, how much screen time percentage-wise of the whole movie does Spider-Man actually get? Is he a main character or just a cameo?
I would probably say he's in there the whole length of, pretty much, except for about maybe like 5 minutes at the end, he's in there for the whole length of the airport battle. And he's got a spot earlier in the film where, you know, Tony recruits him. I mean, I think it's common knowledge he's on Tony's team anyway. So, you know, which, by the way, you know you're old when Marissa Tomei is playing Aunt May in the Spider-Man?
Yeah. Yep.
When you want to bone Aunt May, and then you know you're a little bit old. So,
wait, what about Aunt May? I missed that.
I said, you know you're old when Marissa Tomei is portraying Aunt May in Spider-Man film.
Oh, my God. I had no idea about that.
Yes.
Yep.
And when the last time who portrayed her last time? Sally Field, I think.
Yes.
I'm only bone Sally Field. She's kind of old. But whatever.
Yeah.
Is that Aunt May at least hot?
Yes. Marissa Tomei. That's what I said. That, and
yeah,
she's
gorgeous. She's a grandmother,
yeah, but
she's gorgeous.
In the
so.
Comic book, Aunt May was always 90 years old, and I'm like the verge of dying. And so it's hard to imagine a hot Aunt May.
Tom Holland is Spider-Man, and he kills it as Spider-Man. It's so awesome in there. It feels like the Spider-Man you should have gotten, like, for the last 5 movies. I think they're finally going to get this thing right, because I don't think I can take another Spider-Man.
Exactly. This is the third
Black
Spider-Man.
Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman's Black Panther is really good. I never knew much about the character, but he's got a major role in it, and he's awesome in it. And Ant-Man is a big surprise in this one. He was terrific, Ant-Man.
Well, Ant-Man was... that was a big surprise, just the Ant-Man movie, because, I mean, if anyone was going to bomb or not be that good, you'd think it would be Ant-Man, but that was an awesome little movie.
Yeah, I just say that I'm not going to give anything away, but he's got a large role in this one, so.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I plan to see it this weekend. I got to shoehorn it in between working my anniversary and Mother's Day, but I plan to see it at least once. Hopefully I can talk my wife into going. She's usually not a big deal talking her into going, but it's, you know, it's our anniversary, so she might want to go someplace nice and the movies, so we'll see. But yeah,
there's not much as far as like villains in this. I mean, there are villains, but not like Ultron level or Loki level villains in this. It's kind of small because you've got the central story of the heroes, fighting each other, and then the story you can see both sides why they believe what they believe. So it's
that
pretty
makes
very
sense.
Good. Yeah,
very cool. I can't wait.
They say babyface versus babyface doesn't work.
So what?
I thought.
They say that babyface versus babyface doesn't work.
It works here, and it's going to make a shitload of fucking money. I can't tell you that much.
I thought the second Captain America movie was probably. I know some people hated it. I thought it was like second or
third
best.
It was the best one. It was the best one up until.
I thought
point.
So too.
Somebody
so,
hated that movie. I thought so. That was a great movie.
I've heard a couple of people say it was absolutely horrible, and I heard a couple of critics say it was bad. So, but it doesn't matter because I know what I like.
I remember that the thing was on the internet, like on YouTube. It was so good that they couldn't even do in one of those honest trailers about it. It really wasn't that much stupid shit in it, you know, like all those other, like a lot of other movies. So.
Yeah, I'm stoked to see it. I can't wait. I'll give you my report next week.
We should do a spoiler review next week.
I'll be watching it tomorrow. It's in a row. D-Box, 3D. Be awesome.
Cool.
We should do a spoiler review next week if you guys want to.
Nah, I don't know. We've got to give it a couple weeks.
Why?
We got to let people give a chance to see it. We can't come out here and spoil it. Come on, though.
Well, then don't listen to the fucking show.
Have you guys seen The Jungle Book?
No, I heard that was really good.
It is good, and the writers from they should send the writers from WWE to go see this movie to see how you book a monster heel, because Shah Rukh Khan is the best fucking monster heel that I have seen in a movie, and I couldn't tell you how long. I mean, he's way better than Kylo Ren. I mean, he's booked perfectly. Like, every time there's a fight scene, they put up a fight, but this dude is just, he's the badass of badasses in this movie. And it's actually booked, it's like, if you're booking it like a wrestling storyline, it's actually booked perfect the way they do everything. And it's actually really good. I mean, Bill Murray is pretty funny as Babalu. And I thought it was going to be good, and it was way better than I thought. And Scarlett Johansson kills it as the fucking Python. I mean, it's really just one scene, but she's fucking awesome in it. So I recommend that one also. I know a lot of people probably think it's a kid movie, but it's a lot darker than the old cartoon was. A lot darker.
Craig, did you ever see Batman vs. Superman?
Nope. I heard it was really, really bad, and I will wait for it to come out on DVD.
I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot.
It was enjoyable. I mean, it was nowhere near the other superhero movies. And,
I mean, get away from the story. It was like the visually one of the best visually looking movies you'd ever see.
Yeah.
I thought Ben Affleck was pretty damn awesome in it. It's Batman.
I'm looking forward to X-Men. X-Men's looking pretty good.
Yeah, Odell wasn't sure about that one, but then I saw the new trailer with Wolverine, so that got me excited.
Yeah, and then and Apocalypse isn't finished. That's not the voice that's going to be in the movie, or he's also going to look a little different, too. And but, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. And then I heard that there's plans for a New Mutants movie, and they're actually going to use the majority of the original New Mutant cast. And so that, I think that'll be pretty good. The New Mutants were basically the students from the X-Mansion and shit. And so I'm actually looking forward to that. So it's just a constant, all the superhero movies look good. I'm hearing stuff that they're pushing back the Inhumans, and I think maybe even Captain Marvel, because they want to do Deadpool 2 because it was so good. And then, you know, some other things. But as far as, like, the movie stuff, they all look pretty good. And Doctor Strange ain't too far away either. Hopefully that'll be a little different, but still good.
Suicide Squad coming out in August. That looks pretty good.
Hope so.
I'm just worried about it. And I'm sure that the girl's going to be awesome, but it's one of those things where they jump too far ahead. How do you have her portraying the babyface version of herself in a way when you didn't even introduce her at all in any of the other movies? I mean, I would have really liked to have seen a lot more of her before the Suicide Squad, but I guess, you know, DC hasn't had the best luck with their movies, so I guess they want to do the best, biggest one they can, so they're doing the Suicide Squad way before they should, but, you know,
I'm just wondering, I know it's going to make money, but Mike Myers to show up in this movie for some reason. Like, he'd be using that Wayne's World music in those trailers.
Is there anything else you guys want to talk about before we go?
No.
No, I think we covered everything. Thanks to Alex for calling in and keeping the discussion going. I don't mind talking with Alex, as some people do.
He's a jackass.
I didn't mention
that, knowing that he still hasn't hung up and he's listening.
Well, I don't hear his printer going, so I think we're good.
Couture?
No, I'm done.
Okay. Well, I guess
he's done. He's
hung up. We'll have more to say about Civil War next week. And we'll talk to everybody then. See you later.